Writer Heather McDougall says she was awash in wonder as a child. She found it mainly in nature. But as she grew up, wonder drifted away until she discovered Wunderkammern, Cabinets of Wonder. I asked her about stumbling upon these gateways to awe.
I first became interested in this whole thing. I was at a craft school, and somebody there had this book called Finders Keepers. It had these images in it that had been taken by Rosamund Purcell, who's a woman who goes in to the back rooms of museums and photographs the things she finds in the drawers there.
Ooh.
They were pictures of things that she had found in Peter the Great's Kunstkammern in Russia.
I think you're going to have to help us. What does Kunstkammern mean?
Okay, so you have Wunderkammern, which are cabinets of wonder, and Kunstkammern are basically the same thing, but they are based on man-made objects. They're art objects. Wunderkammern tend to be natural objects.
So she went and took pictures of Kunstkammern, of the things she found there in the...
Of the things she found in Peter the Great's collection, yes. And the one that that just really blew my mind was this picture of a severed arm in a jar holding an eye socket. It had a sleeve on it with a lace cuff. And somebody had very carefully dressed this arm so that it would be pretty. But it's in this jar and it's holding an eye socket. So there's this kind of weird combination of beauty and horror. The person who created this was thinking in a way that I would never, ever have been able to imagine. It was about seeing something that was outside of my regular thought cycle. It wasn't about boyfriends. It wasn't about money. It wasn't about T-shirts. It wasn't about...
Wasn't
about nature either, yeah. And that's the thing. When you become an adult, it becomes harder to just step out into nature. I mean, you can, and it's still wonderful to go out there and see the showers of water coming off the branches when the bird takes off into flight. But it is easy to lose all that, particularly, I think, in this sort of age of irony we live in. There's very much of a tendency to kind of laugh stuff off and try not to care about things too much. And ultimately, if you take too much of that stance, if you don't care about things, if you don't make yourself more vulnerable, you can't experience wonder, I don't think.
Well, I wonder what this tells us about our sense of wonder. Is it how you encounter wonder that matters more? Is it the presentation?
Presentation is actually really important. My husband describes going to the British Museum. He went there because he was a coin collector, and they had this collection of coins, and he wanted to see it. And he had in his mind this vision of this, you know, big pot of coins just brimming and overflowing. I mean, they had pieces of eight, and they had doubloons, and they had all these sort of gold coins, and it was this treasure. And he gets there, and he walks into the coin room, and they've put the coins out on this grid filling this room. And each coin is in one section of the grid with a little label on it. And he says the whole wonder of the collection just died for him at that moment because they didn't allow it to be something that inspired thoughts. They had dissected it down to the point where there was no thoughts to have on it anymore. Looking at Wunderkammern, for example, if you look at the Wunderkammern from the 16 and 1700s, you know, this is a whole age of exploration when people are going out into this world that they didn't know and finding these places that were almost stupefyingly exotic and bringing back stuff they found and things they discovered. And then people were collecting them. In a sense, the collections were more of a private thing so that they could examine things in their own time. But in another sense, a lot of the collections grew to be these things that people would visit, and the people who owned the collections would make them as beautifully presented as possible. Partly to increase the sense of wonder, because when you walk into a room where everything is ornate and all these incredible objects are on display, it takes your breath away.
It also diminishes each one, in a sense, if it's overwhelmed by the others.
In a sense, yeah, that's true. Although some of the displays were things like little drawers that you would pull out, and each thing would be nested in its own little compartment so that you were looking at each thing individually in its perfectly displayed way.
What kind of things would be in those drawers?
Narwhal horns were very sought after. because they were believed to be unicorn horns. Mm-hmm. Fossils were very common, red coral. And interestingly, as time went on, the Wunderkammer became this status thing. You would have to have certain things in it in order to be cool.
Those are examples of places to find wonder in the real world. Was your blog an attempt to find wonder in the virtual world? Was your blog a kind of Wunderkammerin?
Absolutely. In the 1400s and 1500s, when people are going out and exploring these lands, now we don't do that. There isn't this sense that the world is out there for us to explore so much. And I think people are turning to the digital world, collecting things that you find on the web. You are creating a Wunderkammer. You're also creating taxonomies, which was a big part of the Wunderkammer, and where you collect all the birds in one corner of the room and all the shells in another corner of the room and all the things that look like sand in another part of the room, and quantifying things in terms that you find interesting. And the same thing is true with blogs.
You did quit blogging, at least for a while, a hiatus, I guess. The blog about wonder was no longer wonderful for you.
Yeah, it's interesting. There started being a point where Google was learning what I was looking for. Once that happened, I couldn't explore in the same way. It would give me results that it wanted me to see. So it was a little bit like some 1500s explorer going out and heading for the new world and the hand of God coming down and saying, no, you've always gone to Europe before, so we're going to head you off that way, and how can you get any exploring done if everything is smart?
So what do we do now? Is it a special challenge to look for wonder in our world?
I think it is. I stumbled across a reference to myself on the internet the other day, and they were talking about, I wish I was Heather McDougall because she's so open to the universe and she has this wonderful way of being delighted with everything at all times, kind of a thing. And ultimately, writing the blog for me was a way of combating depression. And, I think that's actually not uncommon right now. I think a lot of people are doing that. If you look at the explosion of the fantasy genre, if you look at Burning Man, you go out into this blank desert and you build this vast city, and people all come there with this openness, this sense of wanting to explore and wanting to be together in this safe environment. Or steampunk is another subgenre where people are creating a place to explore, creating a place to experiment, creating a place to deliberately create wonder. I think this is kind of what grown-ups are doing right now. Approaching the world in a childlike way, you are naturally experiencing wonder.
And you speak from some knowledge there, don't you? You taught children, you have children, but you also teach children. So do you think we'll see more of it now? I mean, kids who have, we think at least, a natural sense of wonder, they're more perhaps open to wonder than adults are, and understand digital tools. Maybe there's a whole world of wonder opening
up. It's true. Yeah, you have these kids who are being raised on a diet of digital tools. And at the same time, they're also being raised on things like fantasy books. Kids' literature right now is more intense and more amazing than it's been for decades. I can't even imagine what things are going to be like in 10 years, because you have these kids who are being raised on a diet of wonder, who are being given the tools to create whatever the heck they want. I think we're raising kids who are going to go somewhere totally new and unique.
What's interesting is I was afraid you were going to say that we had lost our sense of wonder, that the modern world didn't have a place for it, that irony has destroyed it. But as you talk, it's clear you think there are lots of sources of wonder.
Oh, absolutely. And, actually, I want to make a distinction, because I think that irony has become mainstream now. It used to be that irony was the subculture and wonder was the mainstream. And that's done a flip, I think. The subcultures now, a lot of them are about wonder.
Maybe it's better for a culture that it not be the main thing, that it be a subculture that gives it more energy, more power, more hope.
There is this sense that wonder might win out.
You've talked about irony and cynicism and how they break down our sense of wonder. But if you had to argue the value of wonder, how would you do that?
I think about Hooke. He basically created a microscope and looked inside it and saw things swimming around. And if he hadn't stopped and thought to himself, what if there are things that are tinier than I can see? If he hadn't been wondering about things, he wouldn't have seen that other world, which is a whole other universe of study. And I think a lot of our really most creative and most innovative technologies came out of a sense of wonder.
Heather, thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Heather McDougall's blog is called Cabinet of Wonders.
Butterflies. That's it. Butterflies.
Every time my daughter looks into my eyes.
I got a kid's toy microscope when I was 11. One of the slides, a piece from a monarch's wing. I adjust the light.
That's it.
Before my eye, butterfly feathers.
The squeaking of fresh, untouched powder snow as your skis make contact in the alpine morning.
Any kind of synchronicity that could have never been planned makes me pause and wonder.
That's it. Sitting on a porch with morning glories.
Anything less, I pause and wonder.
There are times I wonder, what's next? And then the sun is about to set, or the moon is about to rise, and then I just know.
That's it.
This is it.